an area of philosophy that that is a very big area in Yahadus, and all the Gedolei Rishonim deal with it, and not just Gedolei Rishonim, but actually Nevi'im deal with it. And we were doing a chazal a while ago. It brought to my mind the area, and I'll go through the chazal in a minute. But I think it's something which is really actually envelops the Yesodei Hadas, and it's the area of Yisurin, the area of Yisurin, suffering, and. A lot of Chazal and a lot of Divrei Nevi'im that deal with what our concept, how we understand this this phenomenon. You know, Yahadus is really is not an ascetic religion. Yahadus really dislikes asceticism. I mean, the simplest proof is Shabbos. Yom HaShabbos is more Kaddish, has greater Kedusha than any day of the year, even Yom Kippur. And the proof is that you have the way Chazal made sure that this should be expressed through Kriyas HaTorah, because you see on Yom Kippur you only call up 6 people to the Torah. And on Shabbos you call up 7. So you see the Halacha demands, it's Machlokas Rishonim, whether the reason why you increase the Olim is simply because a day of higher Kedusha requires more Olim, or whether even more than that, the nature and the level of the Kedusha Sayom must be expressed through Torah. So therefore, you can't, our minig is the question is whether you can be Mosif or not. Could you call up 6 people, for instance, for Yontif? So if you say the halacha is that the yom demands, if it has a certain level of kedusha, it demands a certain amount of olim. So it demands 5. Okay, so what if I add 6, 7, 8? As long as I have 5, it's okay. That's one shita. But the other sheet is going in further, and they say no, that the kedusha, the exact precise level of the kedusha sayom, in the realm of Kiddushos Hayomim, has to be expressed through Talmud Torah. So therefore, you can't add more than 5 on Yontif. And that's why the only Goyin on Simchas Torah only had 5 aliyahs. So what do you do with Chasim Torah and Chasim Breshus? So he only had 4 in the Kriyas Hayom, and the 5th one was Chasim Breshus. The Chasim Torah was 4. So it was makbid because of the halacha that the Shittas Rishonim that hold that you're not allowed to be Mosif. And it must be exact. And that's basically our minhag except for Simchas Torah. But we're only Mosif on Shabbos. But it means to say that the level of the Kedushas Hayom is determined, not just determined, but is manifested through Kriyas HaTorah, what level of Kedusha today is. And Shabbos, Yom HaShabbos, is the most Kaddish. And that's why you have 7 aliyahs. And yet, on Yom HaShabbos, Halacha of Onig Shabbos is Maichal u'B'mishter, and also Biyah, the Rambam's Halacha. The Rambam says that Tashmish Amita, me Onig Shabbosu. So you see that the Yom Kodesh of that Yahadus, clear message in Yahadus, that Yahadus is not really in favor of asceticism. Not in favor of asceticism. And that's glaringly expressed in the Kedushas HaYom of the Yom HaShabbos, which is the highest level of Kedusha. But yet Yahadus, of course, is at the same time, is at war with the instinctual. I mean, it's a strange thing, But at the same time, we know Yahadus is opposed to the instinctual life. I mean, life which is guided by the instinctual, which Chazal call the Yetzirah. Zu malchamav zu satan zu Yetzirah, and which shows immediately, I mean, that there is a deeper understanding. Yahadus has a deeper understanding. Is based on a very deep philosophy, which you see certain surface expressions, like the like going to Shabbos on the one hand, on the other hand Yom Kippurim. I mean, the whole intricate system. I like to I mentioned the Chazal. So the area of Yisurim, when we approach the area of Yisurim, you have to keep that in mind. And there's a Chazal which really in the area of Yisurin, which expresses, would seem to express an idea that is very, very, very strange. I mean, very strange, very morbid, and smacks of an ascetic type of approach to life. And it demands an explanation. That Chazal, I said we a while ago. We did the area of Nochemish Gamzu. And Gemara says in Tainus, Daf Chafalaf Amar Aleph, Gemara says, Amar Aleph al Nochemish Gamzu. They said about Nochemish Gamzu, Shoyosuma Mishteyinov. He was blind on both eyes, Gidei Mishteyadov. His two arms were amputated, Kiteya Mishtey Raglov. Legs were amputated, v'chol gufa mole shchin, and his entire body was filled with boils, pus pimples, v'yamutl beveis ra'ua, and he was lying in a broken down house, v'ragle mitoso, and the legs of his bed, munochin b'sapolin shamayim, were placed in little vessels of water, kidei shelo yalu olav nemolim, so that the ants shouldn't be able to climb up on the bed and to torment him, because he wasn't able to fight them off. So the Gemara says, pamachas hoysa mitoso. Well, that's in Brecht. Bikshu Talmido of Lefanos Mitoso. So one time his Talmidim wanted to take out his bed, Va'achakach Lefanos Asakelim, and then take out then empty out the house of any type of valuables he had. Omar Lahem, so he said to them, Bonai, Panu Asakelim Va'achakach Panu Asmitasi. So he said to them, first take out the valuables. He says, and then take out my bed. Why? Shemuftach lochem, because I am certain, kolzman shani b'bayis, as long as I'm in the house, ain't a bayis nofel. The house will not collapse. Pinu es akelim, so first they took out the valuables, the vessels. Va'achakach pinu es mitaso, then they took his bed out. The nofal habayis, and then the house fell in. The house collapsed. Amru lo talmidov. So his talmidim said, Rebbe, lechemi achar she tzadik gomarato. Since you're such a great tzadik, lomo also loch kach. Why did this happen to you? Amalahem. He said to them, Bonai, ani garamti l'atzmi. I brought this on myself. Why? One time I was traveling on the road, leveis chami, to the house of my in-laws, v'ayo imi masui gimel chamorim. So I had three donkeys that were laden with goods. Echad shel machol, one was food, the echad shel mishta, one was drink, the echad shel minei megodim, different types of delicacies. Born Yechot. So one poor man came, V'omad li baderach. And he stood in the road facing me. V'omad li, and he said to me, Rebbe Parnaseni. So Rebbe said, help me, support me, give me something to eat. Amarti lo, so I said to him, Hamtein atche efrok min achamor. I said to him, wait a minute until I take something down off the donkey. Lo isparti lifrok min achamor. I didn't have, but before I had time to take off the packages from the chamor, atche yotzeson ishmaso. So he died. Halachti v'nafalti al panav. So I went and I fell on his face. V'amarti, and I said, Eini shlo chosu aleinecha yasumo. My eyes that didn't have rachmanos on your eyes should become blind. Yodai shlo chosu al yodecha. So my hands that didn't have rachmanos on your hands, yizgadmo, should be cut off. Raglai shlo chosu al raglecha yizkatu. Same thing. Veloneskara daiti, and I wasn't appeased that shamarti kol gufi yeh mole shchin. That I said that my entire body should become filled with boils. Amru lo, so the Talmidim said to him, Oy lonu shira inucho bekach, woe unto us that we saw you like this. Amar lahem, so he said to them, Oy li im lori suni bekach. He said, no, on the contrary, it would be worse if you didn't see me like this. It's an amazing chazal. I mean, it stands out against all the other chazal that you have. That really, I mean, in general, that chazal, as I said before, are not ascetic people, and they believed in enjoying life. I mean, chazal say in brachas that the peres genusar, they ate and they enjoyed and the. And there are many, many chazal which describe how they ate even. I mean, gozlos shall base abba, the desserts, or the extravagant. I mean, a lot of many, many chazal that seem to be the contrary. And yet you have this one chazal that, I mean, stands out. We did this Nachum Ishgamza, we did the latter half of Nachum Ishgamza, but we skipped the first part. So, It's a very difficult, very, very difficult chazal, I mean, to understand and to say that because a person, once, and then he should wish this on himself. I mean, he should bring it upon himself. It just sounds against everything that we know about it. Derech HaChayim, I mean. It's a very strange chazal. I don't know if I could fully explain the Chazal, but I think if we gain some insight into the Chazal, it's worthwhile. It is a very, as I said, I mean, something which is disturbing in terms of understanding the whole Derech HaChayim that the Chazal say, that Dalet Varim Yashrim Daito Shol Odom, you know, in a person is permitted to engage Dirana, Ishana, and all the Kalimna, I mean, the all the different things that Chazal seem to say. On the contrary, I mean, so many stories of Chazal, just exactly the opposite. Now, here you find this one story, I mean, that stands out as strange. I mean, of course, I mean, everybody says that the basic principle that all the Mefarshim say is that tzaddikim HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaktek imoyim kechut asara, that tzaddikim are different, and therefore we can't learn anything from the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is medaktek with tzaddikim. But over here it's an interesting thing. He seems to say that he himself wanted this. I mean, it's strange. I mean, very strange. But, I mean, that principle, of course, is true, that tzaddikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, medaktek imoyim kechut asara, we spoke about that one time, it's a different kind of a thing, but I mean, just to say that doesn't really, even that requires explanation. Even that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is over rachamon, I mean, Midas Arachamim, and here you see, it's basically Achzorius. It's hard to understand. But I say that we have to approach the Chazal with caution, and understand that from our vantage point, we might not be able to perceive it fully. But nevertheless, Chazal wrote it so that obviously there's important insight to be gained from it. So that's what I'd like to address. But before we do that, I'd like to discuss the Ramban. Okay, because the Ramban, all the Mepharshim from the Nevi'im, from Moshe Rabbeinu, the Adon HaNevi'im down, deal with this problem. And it's an area which I think is obviously extremely significant. Okay, it's not that we try to understand the cheshbonos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is beyond our ability. We know that, but nevertheless, apparently that the part of the cheshbonos HaKadosh Baruch Hu is for man to gain insight. It's such a large part of the Ashkof of Yehadus, and so many philosophers have spent so much time on it. Obviously the limud is extremely important. Okay. So, when a Chachmei Yisrael approached the problem, they approached it from two different. They broke it down basically into two different components. The area of Yisrael. Two different components. One component is the area of Yisurin that a person. That belong to the natural to the natural world, and this is an important segment. As a matter of fact, the Rambam maintains it's the greatest segment of the Yisurim that fall upon a human being. Okay, it's the biggest area. We don't deny the world, the natural world, and the world of causality, and we maintain that HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed man in a situation where there's cause and effect in all areas. The scientific realm, and also the social realm, the psychological realm. There are the natural laws, and you cannot escape the natural law, because that is exactly what the basis and the underpinning of our Bechira. Our Bechira is to be in a world of causality, and to make decisions with our Chachma based upon the world of causality, which is based upon Chachma. If you remove causality, there's no Chachma anymore. And it's not the world that God created. Mishesh Shemei Bereishis is a world of Chachmas Hashem. It's a Marab Masechot Hashem Kulum B'Chachmas Isa. So, if you take away causation, you take away the phenomenon of causality, there is no wisdom anymore. So, we do not try to escape the world of causality. Lahavdil, the other religions, the primitive religions, and all religions are primitive outside of the true religion, which is Yahadus, they all try to find a way of escape. But Yahadus, we don't maintain such a thing. We say on the contrary, that is really what the backdrop of the Bechira is, the world of Chochmas Hashem and the world of causality. It's a natural world that it is our challenge to cope with and to use our Chochma, and especially the Chochma that was given to us through on our Sinai, the Chochmas HaTorah, to cope with that world, and that is really the whole challenge of human existence. So the natural world is something which we accept. There is one Chazal, I think, that shows you how far this goes. It's a medrash. It's an interesting medrash. Somebody asked me recently about this medrash, because the medrash is quite astounding. The medrash says that When Lavan Arami chased after Yaakov Avinu, and he wanted to destroy everybody, he wanted to kill them all, including his own family. So what he did was, he says, Yeshil El Yodi Lasa Simochem Ra. It's in Mibresh Islam Aleph. Velake Avichem Emma Shamar Lalemo Shamalachom Idabram Yakim Itavad Ra. So if it wasn't for God's intervention, to the Chalom HaLaila with Lavan Arami, would have destroyed everybody. Lavan Bikesh Lakra Sako. So what happened? So then he said, everything va'ato lo chalachto ki nechsof nechsafto leveis avicho, but then he came out with a powerful complaint. Lomo gonafto salohoi. Why did you steal my gods? Vayan Yaakov vayom alovin ki eresi. To answer the first thing first, why he ran away. And then he said, with regard to your second point, first point is why he ran away. Second point, he says, alright, he said, anyone, if you find your gods among any one of my company, then they will not live. Okay, neged achenu hakelacho moi modi vekachloch. He says, you go search around, you find it. The one that you find your gods with will not live. Okay. So he says, "V'lo yoda Yaakov ki Rachel ginavasan." Obviously, he didn't know. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said that. So there is a chazal on that pasuk, which says, "Lo yichya." Rashi quotes the chazal, "Ome osa klolo meisa Rachel baderach." Because of this curse, so Rachel died later on the road. So, I mean, somebody asked Talmud Yeshiva, who related to me, what kind of a thing is this? How it's really unfair. I mean, to say that because he made this statement, that's why she should die. And the Chazal quotes a pasuk. It says the pasuk says that kishgoga hayotze mipi hashalat. Okay, it's like a mistake. The king made a decree that was a mistake, and can't take it back. So he made this decree. It means to say, like many times, a king doesn't know, and there's a certain situation, and he says, whoever does such and such will be put to death. Then he finds out later it was really a complicated matter, and it was really a friend of his that wanted to do him a favor, but somehow or other, the king didn't know what the story was, and he issued a decree that whoever did such and such would put to death, and this was his best friend, and he really did it for his own benefit, but it's too late. He can't take it back now. Now he has to kill him. So that's the Kishgoga Yotze Mipi HaShalat. So Chazal quote that pasuk, and they say that was similar. That's exactly what happened over there. That Yaakov Avinu said, "Im Asher Yimtzo Salarecha Lo Yichya." And that was the decree. He issued the decree, and that's why Rachel later died on the road. Okay, when she had Binyamin. So this person asked very correctly, man, what kind of a thing is that? I mean, it's because he made a statement. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It's not called Rachel Mishpat. I mean. And he's right. He's absolutely right. I mean, we don't believe in such things. And I want to mention, that a lot of these things that people do are really based on, like, for instance, I heard about somebody told me that you bake a key and a bread after Pesach. Yeah. The thing, all those, in order to secure mezonos, all those things, in my opinion, have one purpose. And it's a very serious problem, because what it does is, it's one purpose. The purpose is a denial of one of your gimel ikarim, that is schar v'onesh. Schar v'onesh means hamelach ha-mishpat kol derach of mishpat. To say that the Borei Olam, the Ribono Shel Olam, will look down at a person and will say that because this person baked a key and a bread, that that's why he's going to have panasa. Another person that didn't bake a key and a bread is not going to, is absolutely absurd, and it's a denial of the of the whole institution of schar v'onesh, you see, and it's also a degradation of the borei olam, and it's a denial of chol derech of mishpat, because even if a human king would do, if a human shofar would do such a thing, we would mock that individual. Kal v'chomer, it's a bizoyan, the greatest bizoyan, to say this about melech malchei hamelachim. But a person, the yetzer of a person is very great, and a person can't face, has difficulty facing the truth, and that is that kol derech of mishpat, hamelech hamishpat, and that everything in life is based upon just one principle, and that is schar v'onesh. Schar v'onesh. Schar v'onesh is a very hard thing for a person to take. Because it means there's no way out. People want, you want to get around the mishpat. Okay? But what happens is people who believe in who introduce and believe and accept nonsensical behavior are to my mind entering an area which is very, very serious, because it's a denial of the principle of schar v'onesh, number one, and also it's a very, very serious degradation of the Kvod Shamayim and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is don his world. So therefore, this person's question is very valid. I mean, just because Yaakov Avinu made a statement, so that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed somebody? I mean, he made a statement innocently, didn't know. The Pasuk says he didn't know. So to say, because he made this statement, Yishgog HaYotz and Pia Shalit, so that's why Rachel has to die? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It's ludicrous. It's ludicrous. Of course, I mean, it must be understood that this Masechet Sofrim says, Masechet Sofrim states, and that is that all these agodas that Chazal said were really written for people on a very high caliber, a very high level. Chazal never really wanted these agodas to be known among the masses of people. That's why the Masechet Sofrim says a terrible curse against Kosvei Agadas. You're not allowed to write them down. But we, in our history, we faced a big dilemma. And the dilemma was, if we don't write them down, they'll be lost. So, because we lost the system of the... We lost to a great extent because of the Golas. We lost the whole system of the Chachomim and the Ishmi Piish system. And because of that, so the Chachmei Yisrael had to make a decision, and it was Eis Lasis Lod Hashem Eferu Torah Secha, so they had to break the rule and they had to write it down, because otherwise it would be lost. And you have to weigh the benefits against the losses. So it was decided that it must be written down, because at least this way Chachamim will be able to have access to the MS. And it is true that that simpletons who think they're on a level to understand the Chazal will misunderstand it, but we can't do anything about that. I mean, we can't. The primary emphasis of Kol HaTorah Kula is on the nucleus of the Chachmei Yisrael, from whom Torah really springs forth. I mean, sprouts forth. It's from the Chachmei Yisrael. So that's why the Agudas had to be written down. But I mean, it should be spread around just as much. What the Masechet Sofrim, what Chazal say, that these things weren't meant for the masses just to read them, and just any type of fantasy and illusion that enters their mind. I mean, they think this is what the God is. That's nonsensical absurdity. Especially when you deny, when it means a denial of the Yesodei Hadas, of the Yudgimli Korim, of the Ikore Hadas. Because then, I mean, once you lose the Ikorim, I mean, you lost everything. That's clear. So any idea which influences a person to mitigate or to compromise any of the Ikorim, one must know immediately that it is wrong. It is wrong. I don't care what the Chazal says. One must understand that's obviously not what the Chazal meant. There's something deeper here. But the Ikore Hadas, I mean, that's person, you know, the Ram says that a person, that even great chachamim, if it's nishtabesh etzlam, one of the korim, so the Mishnah over there, the abam malachim dalad yetz einlan chelkom abam, because even though they were great in learning, the Rambam says, but because one of the korim was not the fundamentals was not clear to them, was compromised, so they lost their whole place in the world to come, the whole chelkom olam haba. I mean, and the Rambam says, and the knowledge of Torah didn't help them, didn't save them. That's the Lashon HaRambam. So therefore, one must be very cautious and very careful to make sure that the Kori Adas are always in front of a person's mind and that they're not compromised in any way. I mean, that's the most serious thing that could happen. If you don't understand the Chazal, okay, a person doesn't understand Chazal. There's a lot of Chazal that will never understand. But the person doesn't lose his chelek olam haba. But if you compromise the Kori Adas, and if you introduce alien ideas into the Yesod Ados and into the basic principles of Yedias Hashem on a basic level, and Schar Va'onesh and the other Ikarim, then I mean the person's chelek olam haba is lost. So a person has to have a system of priorities here. So the person's question is very well taken. But I'd like to show what the Chazal really meant, and that it's a very deep idea that the Medrash is really is stating. What the Medrash is stating is that if you study the other Medrashim too, that really Rachel was very close to her father, to love on as a daughter. I mean, she had feelings for him, as a daughter would, and she really, her feelings were expressed in a way that she always tried to save him from Avodah Zarah. And obviously, Lavan Arami was not the most honest person. He always presented himself differently on the outside than he was on the inside, is the inner world, is his inner mentality. And it would seem, I mean, that publicly, at least overtly, in front of Yaakov and his daughters and the family, he wouldn't go around espousing Avodah Zarah. First of all, he'd be ridiculed. And secondly, just in order to maintain his sense of dignity. So obviously, what he would do is he would imply that the reason why he has these gods is simply a political issue. I mean, like he said, Lo yosachem bim kemenu, lo sesatzil v'nebra. I can't help myself. You're right, but I live in a society, and I have to. You can't blame me. I have to be part of the society. That's an excuse that everybody gives, basically. For whenever they deviate from the truth. I can't help it. I live in the society. This is the way it is. So obviously we could expect that Lavan Arami would do the same thing. So it would seem that Rachel herself bought that, and she really believed that Lavan wasn't so seriously tied to Avodah Zarah. It wasn't a serious thing, but he had to do it. It's part of the society, the norms of his society lived in, so he had to pay lip service to the Avodah Zarah, so to speak. Okay? But she thought, and she was hoping, that really he wasn't tied to the Avodah Zarah. It's too... It was beneath him. He understood that it's nonsensical, and he was able to overcome his emotions in that area. Even though he was raised in it, the emotions were very powerful, but he was able to overcome it. So that's why she stole. That's why she stole his gods before they left. Okay. Apparently, she felt that maybe he thinks he can't exist without them. But sometimes a person makes a mistake. They think, I can't. I must have this. And they find that they don't have it. Life goes on just as happy. So she felt that he was a type of personality where if he would find himself without these Avodah Zarah, he would change the way and say, look, best thing that happened to me, I lost those things. Didn't need them, they weren't good, they're stupid, I don't believe in them, but I thought I needed them, they didn't throw me out of Charan anyways, and I'm still a respectable person, and I really should. It was a good thing that happened to me. Okay. So that was her plan. I mean, she wanted to remove him from Avodah Zarah. But the truth of the matter is that she misjudged him. She made a mistake. Now, when Lavan came running after Yaakov, you see, and he wanted to destroy them, his anger, his sinas moves that overtook him, overpowered him, you see. So the truth of the matter is, he couldn't kill them because they ran away. As crazy and as angry and as jealous as he was of Yaakov's success, I mean, as much as it tortured him and he really wanted to kill him, but he was obviously an intelligent person and he lived in a society. You can't just do anything you want in a society. I mean, he has to answer to people. So what is he going to kill his whole family? I mean, because Yaakov, even if he'll say Yaakov cheated him, so say he cheated him, fine, but you don't kill people, your own family, because they cheated you. There's no way to explain what he wanted to do. But then he found the matir. He found the way to explain what he was about to do, what he intended to do. And that was, Lomo gonaftos elohoi, you see. Because for religion, people will understand. Say, I had to wipe out my whole family. You know why? Because, they took away my religion, took away the gods. I mean, these gods that we all worship over here. These people went and they stole my gods. I mean, it's a matter of religion. I mean, how many, what did the goyim say? I mean, the church, all the killings and murders and pogroms, I mean, and the crusades, I mean, what is their answer? Their answer is, Loma ganaftas alohoi, I mean, we killed their god. I mean, that's the same, exact same time. So you see that this was a perfect excuse for him, for Lavan, to justify what he was about to do. So Rachel really committed the most serious error, because of the fact that she had feelings towards her father. And she misjudged him because she wanted to believe that he was on a higher level because it was her father. So she made a mistake. Yeah, but it wasn't a harmless mistake. It wasn't a harmless mistake. Because she endangered all of Klal Yisrael. The whole future of the Shivtei Kah, you see, were endangered because of this misjudgment. This misjudgment. Simple misjudgment, but a very serious, very, very serious one. In the most serious possible. It means the love and bikish lakas are called. Say ulbad, ma bikish love around lasas yagavino. Shapala gazela is harm, worse than paro. So because of this error, because of this misjudgment, she could have put an end to the whole future of Klal Yisrael. When did she realize this? She realized this when Yaakov Avinu said, "Im asher yimtzo as Elohecha lo yichya." When he made that statement, then she realized what she did. You see, that's what the Medrash means. The Medrash means, you see, what happened was the moment when she heard that, "Im asher yimtzo Elohecha lo yichya." So she realized that Yaakov is saying that anyone that did that is fit to be put to death. And she realized what he meant. Because that person, for a stupid thing, trying to take him away to trufim, is endangering the whole Klal Yisrael and gave this Russian excuse to destroy, utterly annihilate the whole Klal, and all the Shvatim and the Shiftei Kah and everything would come to an end. Why? Because they wanted to. Because they stole the truffle. So that's what the Medrash means.
Why is it a shkaga?
Excuse me, what?
Why is it a shkaga?
I'm going to explain. What the Medrash is saying is that what the Medrash is saying is that had Yaakov Avinu known that she did that, he never would have said that. Because he would know what that would, how that would affect her. You see, what that would mean to her. And basically, what that would mean to her, what caused her death was the fact that from that day on, she was never able to excuse herself for what she did. From that day on, she was in misery, and she realized the terrible mistake that she made. She didn't weigh the situation properly, and because of that, the Medrash tells you that she died on the road when she was in childbirth and in a weak state. So the Medrash says that all her anguish and all the remorse and the anguish and the aggravation caused her to pass away. That's what the Medrash means. And Kishgoga Yotze Mipi HaShalit means that had he known that, he never would have said that, because he would have realized what kind of, he would realize, he knew who Rachel was, and he would realize that this would demolish her. This would cause her ruination.
The name makes more sense now, Ben Oni.
Yeah.
That name makes more sense now.
So that's the real meaning of the Medrash. This Medrash really uncovers it opens up when you see the whole story. It explains and opens up the whole story. That's the purpose of the Medrash. But it's an interesting thing. What was the real objective of the Medrash? What was the Medrash really trying to explain? It's an amazing thing. What was the Medrash trying to explain? The Medrash was really trying to explain something that is to our minds inexplicable, and that is, why did Rachel die such a young person? I mean, how old was she when she died? I mean, she's a young woman in her 30s. So why should Rachel Imenu lose her life at such an early time? So what does the Medrash answer? The Medrash answers, strangely enough, it was a natural occurrence. Wasn't any onesh. It wasn't an onesh min hashamayim. It was a natural occurrence. She simply found herself in a situation, and she wasn't able to cope with what had transpired and what she participated in, and because of that, it cost her life. That's really what the Medrash explains. It's an amazing thing. So I introduced this Medrash to show you, as I said before, because it's inexplicable, no one explains it. Well, why should she lose life at such a young age? I mean, basically, she had a very tragic existence, Rachel. I mean, when she couldn't have children, she said, Mayan Mason, okay. I mean, so she was really, the anguish was so great, the pain was so great. I mean, she wanted to die. And then she only, then she had Yosef, and the one that she loved, Yaakov, she never really had fully because of Leah. I mean, and Yaakov really wanted to divorce Leah, Chazal said he couldn't do it because of Shiftei Kor. And basically, she had a very tragic kind of, on a psychological level, I mean, she had a tragic existence. On a Ruchnius level, she had an unbelievably high existence. But Chazal wanted to explain why that was so. And that Medrash, they explain it. So there again, you see, as I said before, that in Yahadus, our approach to life is a very naturalistic one. I mean, we don't deny the situations that surround us, whether they're physical or whether they're psychological. We don't deny that. On the contrary, we accept it, and we recognize also that is exactly the platform upon which our Bechira was intended to function and to work. And if a person slips up in the Bechira, and in their Bechira, doesn't matter who they are, they could be the greatest person, but God will not intervene and save them from the results of their Bechira, necessarily. Don't say he will never intervene, but we say that we do not Ain somchen al anes. We don't rely on such a thing. When God intervenes, that's something which is a great mystery, which we don't understand. That He does intervene, we know is true. When and how, no one knows. The only thing, we only have certain clues that we have from our Masorah as to why and when and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervenes. I mean, this is a great study, a great limud. But we also know that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in spite of the person's level, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not intervene in the natural order, and the role that a person plays in their life in terms of exercising their Bechira is fixed and is unchangeable, and the consequences of what they do are immutable. I mean, that's a yesod in the dust. So, going on with this idea, the Ramban mentions in the Shaar Gemul. Shaar Gemul is really dedicated to this question, this problem of Yisur. So he said like this. I'm just taking one part. He said like this. He said, "Od is kiru chachomim zal derech acheres b'yisur." He explained the different approach to Yisur. Amru, Tana debei Rabbi Yishmael. Gemara says in Erchin daf Tazayin on base. Tana debei Rabbi Yishmael. Kol she'over olav arboim yom below Yisurin, kibel olamo. Anyone that has 40 days of total pleasure, I mean, they don't have any pain for 40 days, is kibel olamo. They already received their reward. No olam haba. Okay? They got their olam haba right here and now. They don't have to try, they don't have to start wondering what is over there. Okay? Because they got it here. That's what Chazal said. 40 days without Yisurim, 40 days without Yisurim, and it's kibel olam. That's it. If 40 days go by in a person's life where they don't have any pain, any Yisurim, that they got their olam haba. Strange Chazal. So, yeah. And the explanation of this concept, this idea, things, natural occurrences, okay, that happen in the world, and that happens to everybody, every human being. Kigon, for instance, sheyimtza torach b'maisav lefonim. Sometimes he finds difficulty in doing things, okay? The yichav gufo, kishi yochal macholim roim sheinam agunim lo lafi tevashalo. Person overeats, so they suffer indigestion, okay? The yichav rosho, he has headaches, kishi yamod bashemesh, if he exposes himself to the sun too long. The yielo mina yigios sheboos afilo ala molochim. And this, you're dealing with things that even happen to kings, the people on the wealthiest people, the people on the highest socioeconomic level. I mean, no one escapes this. Shekigon elu ein nitzel mehen. No one escapes from these type of things. Okay, ela harusha hagomer leganim. Only the person that's the absolute rusha. Shemekabel olamo. That he receives his world, his future world, he receives it right here. The shomina somina shamayim, and they guard him mina shamayim with a special ashgacha. Lasos kol ratzono ba'olam hazeh. Shenema yachilu drocha b'chaleis. It's an interesting thing. I mean, this is an amazing thing. Again, I mean, you could see from what Yahadus, from the things that Yahadus says, I mean, that this is something not simple. I mean, you could tell in Lahavdil and other religions immediately when they tell you their ideas of Shechar V'Onesh, you can see immediately where they're going. They're going in the direction of their fantasies. it's easily perceivable. I mean, it's transparent. Or you had the somehow or other sets down things that are strange. I mean, strange things. Like that the Rosh HaGomor has under a special Ashgacha. I mean, what's the Ashgacha? The Ashgacha is that he should have a time that no one, no human being experiences. No problems. I mean, even the normal things that disturb people, this Rosh HaGomor is exempted somehow or other. It's a strange idea. I mean, but Chazal, it's a Yesod. I mean, the Ramban quotes, the Ramban quotes a Pasuk in Tillim, but it's really a Pasuk in Vaschanon. I don't know what Ramban does about the Pasuk in Vaschanon, but Rashi says in Vaschanon, Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Umishalim lasonov alponov lahavido." So Mishalim means Mishalim is usually in terms of Scha. So Chazal say Mishalim lasonov. Rashi says it means what? It means that God pays back the Rasha in this world. That's a Yesod. It's a special Ashgacha of the Rasha Gomor that He's paid back in this world in a way that no one else experiences, and that is that things happen out of the ordinary, that he should have an unbelievably pleasurable kind of existence in order that he should not have any part in Olam Haba. It's an amazing thing. What kind of a... Who would say such a thing? Who would think of such a thing? It's a Yisod and a Das. I mean, this idea we received at Sinai, that this is a Yisod, this is the way it happens. Understand? I mean, why should they? What's the idea behind this thing? I mean, it's not so simple to understand. But that's our Muna. I mean, this is the way it works. The Rosh HaGomor somehow or other has a special corners the market on the world of pleasure in a way that no one else can do. I mean, in Minas Shamayim they help him out. That he doesn't have nothing bothers him. 40 days, nothing. 40 days could be years. Yeah. No, that Chazal say, because even a Rosh HaGomor, I mean, it's impossible that he didn't do something he did, something good, okay? He did some kind of a good thing. And because of that, the Kadosh Baruch Hu pays him back, whatever it is, he pays him back, kiflayim, I mean, in a way that, unbelievable way, that he everything he gets over here. I one time said pshat in that basic pshat in that chazal. I mean, the chazal, it's a pasuk. I mean, it's a pasuk. Shalom, son of Ramban, it's pasuk in Tillim, pasuk in Dvarim. But the reason I said one of the reasons, I can't say what all the reasons. But one of the reasons, and maybe we'll uncover another aspect of it. But one aspect of it is because the pasuk says kel emuna ve'ein ovel tzadik v'yosher hu. So Chazal say shakol matzdikin olav ezdino, that after a person is niftar, I mean, olam, and he faces HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows him the din, so they all say, every human being says yofedanta. They say the matzdik the din. So I wanted to say that what it means is that not that the Russia necessarily gets a new level of chachma. That would be wrong to give the Russia schus to have a new level of chachma. But it means even in his framework, even in his distorted framework, he can't have any complaints. He's matzdik the din. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is matzdik the din of a person, not just in the true framework, but even according to his distorted framework, he has nothing to say. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows him, you did a mitzvah. If he has a tiny, you did a mitzvah, look at what you got. You got exactly what you wanted. You wanted Olam Hazeh, and you got it par excellence. Couldn't be better. So he's matzdik the din. So that was one of the... So the tzidduk ha-din, ha-kol matzdik in love as dino, what Chazal mean is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is knowing with every person in their framework. Even in their framework, they have to be matzdik the din. That's one aspect of this idea. But there are other aspects to it as well. I think maybe we'll explain another aspect of this concept. But that's the Yesod B'Das. That a Rosh has a special Ashgacha, he has a type of existence that's unbelievable, that even the little things, little disturbances are Min Hashemayim, the Ashgachah steps in and saves him from these disturbances. Okay. So he says, that's a Chazal. Nice like this. He says, that's what the Chazal means. Shem Mekabal Olomo V'Shomer Osom Hashemayim Laso So Kol Ritzono Balamaza. Aval, he says, She'or B'nei Adam, the rest of humanity. He says, that's what Chazal means. When they say, when Tana Debeir Shmuel Kol Shavu Allah Vabon Yom B'lo Yisun Kibbal Olomo, it means it's a Rosh Hashanah. It means this person's a Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Aval She'or B'nei Adam Bein Tzadikim Bein Rishoyim, whether it's Tzadikim or Rishoyim, Kulam B'chlau Min Hago Shel Olam. They're all part of the normal minhago shalom. And in the normal minhago shalom, you have mishaps. Call somebody, they're not there, it's important to get it. All these things are all part of minhago shalom. Again, I mean, here again is an area where people go against what Chazal say. and this is a dangerous area again of superstition. And that's why the Torah asks it. A person says, this didn't, all of enough up, my bread fell down, things didn't go right, it's a bad day, I shouldn't go out and do business. That's a varazar. That's basically a varazar. Because we believe there's a minhago shalom, and we find ourselves in a situation of cause and effect, and because of the realm of cause and effect of minhago shalom, that's the way it works. Things don't work out exactly because that's there's a whole system of causality. And you can't expect that because your wishes, you want something, as nothing is not going to disrupt the minhago shalom. Okay? So if things don't go smoothly, it's not a simon this way, that way. I mean, you look at the simonim, that's a person who doesn't want to accept the minhago shalom. That's against what the Ramban is saying, it's against what Chazal said. People, of course, a person would rather not accept the minhago shalom, rather have things go according to his wishes. But Yahadis demands that we recognize, no, that this is Minhago Shalom, and that is the way God created the world. He placed us here in this situation, and we have to accept Minhago Shalom. And things don't go exactly the way you want. I mean, that's part of Minhago Shalom. And if you think otherwise, and you think it's a simon, then the person is egocentric, and he thinks the whole world revolves around his wishes, and the next step is he's an Ovid of Adazar. Okay. So he says like this. V'zehu shepirshu b'gemar sham be'erchem. He says, and the Gemara explains this in Erchem. Ad heichon itachlas yisurim. The Gemara says, what is really the depths, the nth degree of yisurim? You know, what is the borderline, the line where we say that, how far do yisurim go? In other words, where is the cutoff point in yisurim? You say you have serious yisurim, you have less. What point do you say that something is untoward, an untoward event happens to you, and that's not Yisurim? Where do you cut off the line? Where do you draw the line? Okay? So the Gemara says like this. Gemara starts off, says, Kol sha'or gulo beged lulbo shveino meskabolov. Goes to the tailor. The tailor measures him. He's having a suit made to order. Okay? He's excited. He can afford it. A suit made to order. Comes back. It doesn't fit exactly. Mistake. Okay, so it doesn't mean that it's the end of the world. I mean, okay, so the tailor goes back and he restructures it. I mean, so he'll have the suit tomorrow, the next day. All right, he's not going to tell us an honest tailorism. He's not going to charge him for mistake. But it's annoying. He was waiting, expecting. He's getting the suit now, and he's willing. He spent the money. He decided on the type of garment, and he got the right tailor and everything, and now is the moment he's going in, he's waiting to put on that suit, and this is it, and he's walking out. No, doesn't fit. Okay. That's called Yisurim. So what does it mean it's called Yisurim? That means that Yisurim means that it's something which somehow or other, I mean, Yisurim will benefit a person. Okay. So it's like this. The thing Gemara says is, Vaskifu Allah, and the Gemara asks on this, and the Gemara asks a question. The Gemara says, how could you say that? You wasn't going to take the Gemara in Erchem. Yeah. So the Gemara says, how could you say that? Maskif lo rova. I mean, it's daf tesayin on base. Maskif la Rava. Okay, Rava Zeira, the Item Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni, Gedola Mizulam. They said, how can you say that? Even worse, Afilu Nischavnu Limzog Bechamin Umozgulo Betzonon, Betzonon Umozgulo Bechamin. That it's not, that even less than that, that he wants a cup of wine, so sometimes he likes it with warm water, sometimes he likes it with cold water. So he told the servant, he's a very wealthy man, he told the servant, you know, please mix me the kosa with chamin. He made a mistake, he did it with tzon. So, all right, I mean, how long does it take to correct that mistake? So the Gemara says, that's considered tzon, va'at amrit kula hai, and you're saying that this is a worse thing, where he's anticipating going to the tailor and getting his suit, and it doesn't fit him, that's even worse, and we see even less. So the Gemara says, Ma Breg Rav Yinoma Afilu Nepach Lo Chaluko. He tries to put on the shirt and it doesn't go on right. Okay, he puts it on inside out, whatever. Rav Avitam Rav Chizitam Rav Yitzchak Ramel Masnita Tana Afilu Hoshit Yado Lekis Little Sholosh Valo Biyado Shtayim. That even if he wanted to put his hand in his pocket, he wanted to take out three coins, and he only got two. He went for a dime, he got a nickel, vice versa. Okay? So then the Gemara says, Dafke Sholosh V'olo B'yadosh Shtayim. Only if he wanted three, and he got two. Avol Shtayim V'olo B'yadosh Sholosh Lo. Gemara, that's the cutoff. That's too much. All right? Want two, and he got three, he just goes like that, drops it, that's ready. The Leket Tircha L'Mishdayim. Yeah. What happens to me, I mean, it's an amazing thing. I mean, you see how Chazal analyzed. I mean, I'm to the nth degree. I mean, what's the importance of it? Because Chazal wanted to know exactly, precisely, there's a principle here, a psychological principle. Because when you want two, when you want three and you get two, it's an emotional, psychologically, it bothers you. You want the two and you got three, that's already, you got more than you asked for. Somehow or other, doesn't bother as much.
No problem.
No problem, yeah. So Chazal were very tuned to the psychological. I mean, that's the godless of Yahadis, that it's deep philosophically and psychologically. We don't overlook the psychological. That's what Chazal drew the line over there. So that's what the Ramban quotes the Gemara. So the Ramban says, he says, V'kol kach lama. Okay, he says like this. V'zeh inyan acharhu eino elo min ha-yisurin ha-mishtanin bohen b'nei odom zeh mizeh barov. Okay, he says, these are the yisurin, the ordinary yisurin. Okay, these are the ordinary yisurin. But it's called yisurin. Avo b'yisurin mamish lo lamadnu shebohem sheboyim elo lekapar. Okay, so Yisurin Mamish is different. These are two different areas of Yisurin. One area is the natural area of Yisurin. It's an interesting thing. See, some idea really can be gleaned from this, and from this Chazal. Explaining the Russia, I mean, it's one Chazal, so there must be one idea behind it. Explain the life of the Russia, where God protects him from these kind of things, and the average person. You see, it's an interesting Chazal, but we have to know what we know through Nevuah, and what we analyze might not be able to understand the whole thing, but whatever knowledge we can gain is important. It seems that Chazal say Bederach Shadam Rotzeh Leilech Malach Nasa, which means that once a person makes a decision to follow Rishis, to follow evil, so then the opportunities to change are cut off. Doesn't mean he could never do tshuva. It doesn't affect him internally. The internal bechira is never affected. Except in a rare case like by Paro, it's a rare case. But generally speaking, God does not interfere with the internal mechanism of bechira. But b'derech sha'odom rotzeh leilech malichan asam means that there is a hashgacha, that once the person makes the decision, that things will go that way. Okay? Which means that once the Russia decides to be evil, thing, he's not going to, the situation, the external situations are going to prevent him from changing, from becoming good. You see? Are going to prevent him from changing. And that's really another aspect of this yesod, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays the Russia back in full over here. Because the idea is like this. You see, all these little things that go wrong in life, these little mishaps, I mean, Chazal are giving fine examples and trying to show you where the cutoff line is, but basically it's a large range of phenomena. I mean, it's not just these things. Chazal using this example, but the range is great. I mean, it's unbelievable. It goes on almost every few minutes. Okay, because things don't go the way you want them to go, and anything you try to do, I mean, there's always little mishaps. But all these mishaps serve a purpose. And the purpose of the mishap is to prevent the person from attaching themselves too much to this existence in terms of the psychological satisfaction. Because if a person would do that, they would not be able to pull out of it and turn the soul to its real primary function, which is pursuit of chachma. It's an interesting thing, but as great a mind as Albert Einstein said that what turned him to the world of physics, because the practical world, he said, he was too frustrated. Very frustrated. Didn't work out. Things don't work over there. Says, but in the world of Chachma, he says, oh, there, things work perfectly. You see that that is a true experience in mankind, that the fact that things don't go the way your wishes want them to go, I mean, the way the psychological satisfaction would have them go, the desires would have them go, the fact that it doesn't go that way somehow breaks the relationship, that strong tie, and it frees the energy the frustrations drive the person to a better world. See, a better world, the world of God's chachma satara. really, it serves a benefit. However, the Russia already has made his decision. You see, the Russia has made his decision to be tied inextricably to the pursuit of the psychological satisfactions and the physical satisfactions, so therefore Kadosh Baruch Hu intervenes, actually, and he allows that attachment to really become firm and fixed, and it can't be, it becomes immutable, he can't remove himself from it. That's Mishalim L'sonov Alponov La'avido. That's La'avido. That's what Chazal means. That if the Russia has 40 days, 40 good days, it's really a doom. He's doomed. Now the psychological becomes so fixed that he'll never be able to remove himself from it. He made the decision, and B'derech Shalom Rotzeh Lelech, the Ashgacha takes him along the road. Helps him along, assists him, and Min HaShemayim, they don't allow him to change. It doesn't mean it's like the Rambam in the Hilchos Tshuva, where all the things mocked and moaning, but then in the end he says, but in spite of everything, the person is still the Tshuva. What does it mean? It means it gets harder and harder, because then his chances become slimmer and slimmer. But God never affects the inner bechira. That's the last thing that remains, unless he's a Russia like Paro. That's a different kind of a Russia. then he loses Bechira as well. But the basic, but before that, long before that, he the external situation prevents him from exercising his Bechira in a way that would deflect him from his original path. So it's an amazing thing. But it's a Yesodah in our dust. I mean, it's part of the whole Yesodah of Schar Vonish. And this was given to us in the Torah and through Moshe Rabbeinu, Mishalem Lasano Apanu Avido. It's Yisod. Strange thing, but that's the way it is. So that's another aspect of it. One aspect is matzdik es dino, and the other aspect is the idea that the individual, once he makes his decision, once he makes that bechira, the situations are going to be such, not just that they're not positive, but they're even negative. They fix him into a slot that he determined he wants to be in. Yes? It's not that the person will make a taina of the annoyances, but it's that God will show him that, look at the level of, this is what you really wanted, and look what you got. You got it on the highest level. Even these little things that everybody's disturbed with, you were exempted from. So he has to be matzdik the din. He has to be matzdik the din. You see? One of the things, I mean, a person is psychologically very short-sighted. The psyche of a person itself is a very strange phenomenon, like the case of the Gemara with the tailor. Okay, that was the worst case. But the tailor means a person could be, I remember someone was one time visiting a very successful, very wealthy individual that had a $4 million home. Okay? And it was a beautiful home. It wasn't in New York, so $4 million buys an awful lot out of New York. Buys in New York also, but over there, you can imagine, much more. So he had beautiful acres of grounds with a beautiful home and the most beautiful pool, and he said, you know, come, let's sit outside and we'll discuss something in my backyard, you know, overlooking the pool and the mountains and the area, beautiful area. So as they're discussing something, suddenly this person gets up and starts screaming. He says, what's the matter? He said, those ducks drive me crazy, because the ducks go into the pool. So, I mean, if you would tell a person, you take the same individual 20 years before, when he didn't have any money, you tell him, look, I'm going to give you a beautiful mansion, beautiful place, $4 million mansion, but, you know, once in a while the ducks are going to go into your place. Think it'll disturb you? But that's the nature of a person. I mean, the person that was sitting there could not believe that that's possible. You know, just to sit there was happy. He never enjoyed himself so much before. Just to be there was unbelievable. Okay, but that's what. That's what Chazal means. Chazal means a person. What? That's the nature of the human psyche. That's what Chazal are pointing out also with the suit. What's the suit? A person could be wealthy, successful, wonderful. Yes, he's unbelievable. But he went to the tailor. You don't have my suit. Go crazy. How important is this? I mean, an outsider would laugh at it. But the psyche of a human being is very short-sighted. And small little things are blown up into monstrosities. I mean, that's the nature of the human psyche. The perspective. Perspective is the most difficult thing for a person to maintain. If a person can maintain perspective, you have the greatest life. But perspective is very difficult, because that momentary thing, he's on edge. I mean, this and that. He asks you to stop and say, well, just a minute. I mean, what about the rest of your life? Everything fine? You wouldn't want to hear about it. This is the biggest tragedy right now. Worst thing that could happen. But that's the nature of man. That's what Chazal are pointing out. So if a person would be saved from constant frustrations, the frustrations of everyday life, I mean, you don't realize how great a thing that is. So is Kibbol Olamo. I mean, it sounds, you know, when you're sitting here and you think about these things, they don't sound so important. But the truth of the matter is, if a person would be able to be saved from the everyday frustrations of life, they would have a qualitatively different kind of existence. So this is the gmul, I mean, for the Russia, I mean, the Kano Lomo is not a small thing. You know, it's small when you think about the other guy going to the tailor. But when it's the person himself, it's very upsetting. Okay? Yes. There's another thing also. I mean, all Yisurin, there's one Yisod in Yisurin. And that's one Yisod that without explaining, I mean, all the different aspects of Yisurin, a Schar V'Onesh, but there's one Yisod in Yisurin that we know. And that is that all Yisurim can be used as a means of arriving at a higher level. That we know. We can't explain a lot of things. But Yahadus, in spite of the fact that it can't explain a lot of things, it doesn't mean we don't have any insight. You see, people make a mistake. I mean, they usually have one, a person that's not a real chacham, they usually have one question, and all they could see is that question. Everything else doesn't matter. I mean, their mind is fixed on one question. How is it possible this and that? That's the end of it. That's the end of the whole. But Yahadus teaches us that that's not the way to go about it. You may not understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu does this and does that. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that doesn't mean there's nothing to be gained. We don't have any knowledge in the area. That's not true either. Okay? We have a lot of knowledge. We have a whole wealth of knowledge from Nevuah that we couldn't possibly get no matter how great the Chachamim we are. And if you don't avail yourself of that knowledge, I mean, then you're just a fool. So one Yisod in Yisurim that we can be sure of is that all Yisurim basically are a means that a person can utilize Yisurim, in order to reach a higher level. Doesn't mean that I'm not saying that every individual does this. I'm just saying that that is, without a doubt, that is the benefit. You see what Chazal says yes. So it means to say, I mean, that's the basic rule. The basic rule is that all Yisurim can be used as a vehicle and as a means for the person to arrive at a higher level. This, the Yisurim of the day-to-day frustrations, is a perfect example. Why? Because a person as a Chacham has to have a desire to live in a certain consistent logical pattern. I mean, it's beneath the dignity of a Chacham to live any other way. And if a person would act in a way that he would be ashamed if others would see him act that way. I'm not talking about the social embarrassment, but I'm talking about true embarrassment, because the person realizes that this is not a proper way to function. There's a social embarrassment, and there's real philosophical embarrassment. And there's, like the Gemara says, with the story of the Amora went up in the attic and he screamed and they said, how can, and there were women in the attic. Captain says, how can you scream? Embarrassed? He says, I'd rather be embarrassed socially, but my boy won't be embarrassed because in reality I did the right thing. So, but I'm talking about real embarrassment, philosophical embarrassment. Philosophical embarrassment is when a person realizes that a small thing unnerved them and the whole world suddenly collapsed because of a small stupid thing. I mean, it's an insignificant thing. So what does that show the person? It shows there's something wrong with his perspective. I mean, there's something wrong. There's an inconsistency here. It shouldn't happen. So these small things, that's what Chazal really, that's part of what Chazal are trying to tell you. That these small frustrations in life, the day-to-day frustrations, are a wonderful thing, really. Because it's a barometer. It's a way to measure whether you have perspective or whether you don't have perspective. I mean, if you see you get thrown by something, that means you have to examine your inner self. I mean, you can't just condemn yourself. I mean, that's not going to help. But you have to examine and think into your mind and how your mind is working and see where your perspective is off, because it shouldn't happen. So the truth of the matter is that those small frustrations in life, and that's what Chazal is saying, really. That's the everyday frustrations are a wonderful thing because it causes a person to gain perspective and to reevaluate the structure. I mean, we maintain that a person is the only bria, the only one of the animal kingdom. I mean, that's capable of making a change in their own self, and in the most essential part of their self. And that means a person can change their inner nature. And the way to do it, I mean, you have to of course have signs that tell you when you're off. So all these day-to-day frustrations are really a wonderful thing. Everything, it's a part of the plan, and it benefits man, because when the disturbance occurs, it causes him to think. I mean, if he's a thinking individual, say, one second, how could a small thing, it's inconsistent, it's beneath my dignity as a chacham. I mean, I'd be embarrassed to try to explain such a thing to somebody. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. So this is a means and a vehicle of giving a person perfection, because it causes him to reflect on what occurs, and it causes him to gain perspective. I mean, a person has to have a consistency. That's when Bikesh Yaakov Leshev B'Shalva doesn't mean that Yaakov wanted to live in a way that there's no Eg Shabalam. There's no, Yaakov Vino wasn't disturbed by these things, because he never lost his perspective. So the but Bikesh Yaakov Leshev B'Shalva meant something else. It meant he didn't want something which he couldn't deal with, which would have an effect on him that was so powerful that he simply couldn't overcome it, like Rav Zershel Yosef. I mean, that was, he lost his son. I mean, in his mind, the son was gone, and in a way that he couldn't extricate his emotions from it. That was something that he didn't want. That kind of an incident he didn't want. Something that actually was so powerful that he couldn't remove himself from it. That's what it meant. But Chazal tell us that God had a different plan, and that really, in spite of the fact that he suffered for 22 years, ultimately it was really for his toilas. But that wasn't something he was looking for, because that was something he couldn't do it. It was something which drew on his emotions in a way that he could not overcome them. By yomoyinless nachir, by yomaki eila ki eredel bini ovel shola, and there was no way that no one even vayev goes off that even Yitzchak couldn't help him. So that was something he didn't want, an incident like that, because he wanted to direct his energies into chachma, into Torah, and he was prevented from doing that because of the incident of Yosef. That's what it meant. Bikesh leishev didn't mean bikesh leishev b'shalva, that he wanted to be exempted from all the little mishaps that occur to a person in their daily life, and all these little frustrations. He didn't have any problem with that, because that's only, the one that has a problem with that is a person that doesn't accept the knowledge of Olam, and a person that loses perspective, that doesn't have the proper perspective. That was not his problem. But Rav Zershel Yosef, that's something that he couldn't, that hit his emotions in a way that he was unable to overcome it. And that's what he didn't want, because he wanted to be able to direct his energies to Chochmah and to Nevuah, and you see, he lost Nevuah for 22 years. That's a different concept. But even that, Chazal say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it, and ultimately it was his tolas. But that's not something a person could... There's an area, that's what the Ramban is saying. This is a different Derech in Yisurin. Because this Derech in Yisurin is something which a person can understand, make sense, and they can accept it and even appreciate it and be thankful for it. I mean, because of the fact that it really is a wonderful thing, that it puts a person in a situation where they have to establish a consistency and a perspective, and they have to be chokiv adorish into their own lives. If these things happen, I mean, why should it disturb their life? It doesn't make any sense. So it forces a person into perfection. It's a wonderful, that's a good thing. That was in Yaakov, didn't expect to be exempted from that. The only ones exempted is a Rosh Hashanah. That's basically what Chazal are explaining. Okay, so yes.
Is it possible for a person on a very high level to go 40 days and then anything happens that they don't bother them?
Yes. Yeah, that's something else. That's something, of course. That's what should happen. I mean, that's what should happen. But it means that Chazal never deny the psychological. It doesn't mean he'll be immune. I mean, it's still, you put on a show, it's not that, but will it throw them off their normal course? No. That's, we don't maintain that a person...
It won't disturb his equilibrium.
It won't disturb his equilibrium in any way. Will he feel it? Yeah, you can't not feel it. I mean, it's an impossibility, because you want to do something that happens, so you have to feel it. But it won't disturb them. Won't disturb them, and it's not something that they're trying to escape. They're not trying to escape from that, on the contrary. They recognize the Noach Shabolom, and they recognize this is the plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They recognize the wonderful plan, and that's the whole Tachlis of Bechira and Chochmas Hashem, and they accept it. There's no problem at all. Yes. Ki lo yachpots b'mos hameis ki yim b'shuv ki b'shuv ki b'shuv d'akav v'choyer. Yeah. The passing of Cheskel. The What it means? It's not a contradiction. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the Rasha, he gave him the choice, and the fact is that with that choice comes a certain Hashgacha, but his ultimate will is not to destroy him. It's not like a person, would want to, angry at somebody who wants to destroy him. If the Rasha would exercise his Bechira, the Bechira he has left, and change, on the contrary, he'd be in line with God's will. But it doesn't mean, but God works in a certain way. It doesn't mean, in other words, there are certain rules for how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is done this world. He doesn't change the rules, you see, but if an individual destroys himself by becoming a Rasha, it doesn't mean that God wants to punish him. If he would exercise his Bechira, he'd be more in line with God's will. You understand what I'm saying? That's what it means. It means
he's not going to put up roadblocks if the guy uses Bechira to do
it. It depends. See, that, what, in other words, there's two things. The will of God is not to punish the Russia. That's a part of the system that takes place. But if the Russia were to change, so on the contrary, then, in other words, what the Navi is telling you is that God does not want to exact punishment for the person. That's not his will to exact punishment. The punishment proceeds from the Chochmas Hashem in terms of how he runs the world. But if the individual were to change, and he would be under the sphere of Schar, so on the contrary, that would be a greater kiyum in God's will, so to speak. Kaviyachon. It's a different idea of will than what we think will, but you understand what I mean? That's what it means. It's not a contradiction. There's no contradiction between those two things. Okay? Yeah. That's what the Ramban says. That this is a certain derech. This is the Ramban says that when Chazal and Nevi'im analyzed the area of Yisurim, and they gave us the knowledge that they have from Divrei Nevuah and from Chachma, that they broke it up into two categories. One category is the naturalistic. That's why I said, oh, derech achar. That's the naturalistic things. It's also Yisurim. It's a different kind of Yisurim. He says, you can't just say, you talk about Yisurim, you have to split it up into different categories and analyze it. This is one category. Okay, and he gives you the analysis of the category. He says, Avo bi Yisurim mamish lo lamadu bem shaboyim ela lekapar. He says, that's Yisurim mamish is different. But this is one category. This is the area deal. Okay? Yes. Well, forget about Yisrael Shalva. They're not ready for that yet. That's already a higher... I'm just talking on a basic plane. Okay? There's a lot to be gained on a basic plane before you advance to the more difficult areas in philosophy. Yes?
Yeah, I'm just curious why it's necessary for a Russian to die without a complaint.
Yeah, it's a good question. Why is it that a kol matzdikin love is dino? In my opinion, I think, I mean, you can't, you know, certain things you can't go beyond a certain point, like the Rambam says, that you can't ask, why did God create this? Because ultimately you're going to get stuck. He created man because he wanted to do good. I mean, people, that's the general answer. He says, yes, why do you want to do good? So why do you want to do good? Ultimately you're going to have to say, because that is God, or as the Rambam says, that's God, that's his will, that's existence, and you can't go any further. That's it. Okay, but the question, I would say that it has to do with the idea that as a Bria, you have a certain right. A Bria has a certain right, and one of the rights is to be able to see your din.
See what?
See your din. Din. Why the din is that way? It's a certain right they have. And I call my stigma of Zeno means that you have a right to see your din. It doesn't say I call all of them as Dino. It's I call Matzdikin love as Dino.
So why?
On the contrary, this is an important thing. I mean, we'll get into this later, but this is an important thing to remember. That when people always say that Moshe Ben is Kasha, Tzadik Varolo or Rosh Vatovlo. Moshe Ben is Kasha is not their Kasha. That's number one. Nothing to do with it. Their kasha is based on a misconception of what the good and what evil is. That's their kasha. Okay? because their kasha is always, why did this person get this good? What is the good? It's either fame or fortune or health or something. But they're saying that that's the good. See, that, so that's, so their kasha is based on a misapprehension of what the good is. The kasha is not based on what the real good is, what Yahadis teaches what the good is, which is the good of the soul and the good of Chochmah and the good of uncovering the world which is beyond the physical, the world of reality, Chochmas Hashem, Arab Masechet Hashem. It's a different kind of, their good is really is a self-absorption and nonsense. I mean, that's what they call the good. So they say, how come the Russia has this? He has that. You shouldn't want that. If you, that is not good. So the kasha of the kasha that the Hamon Am asks of the tzaddik v'rolo and Rosh v'tovo is not Moshe Rabbeinu's kasha. Nothing to do with Moshe Rabbeinu's kasha. It's a nonsensical kasha. It's a kasha based on a misunderstanding of what the real good is. So they say, why did this Russia get away with this? What did he get away with? He got away with something that I wish I can get away with, but I hold myself back from doing it. So in other words, you hold that what he does is really good. So you maintain that evil is good. If you really thought that it is evil, you think you feel sorry for him. What do you got? He got a, he gained a sum of money, and his soul is destroyed. Would you do such a thing? I mean, would a person do such a thing? It's totally nonsensical. But the kasha that everybody asks, the of tzaddik v'rolo and Rosh v'tovo, is not the kasha of Moshe. It's nothing to do with the kasha of Moshe Rabbeinu. Everybody was saying, "Yeah, I'm asking the same kasha as Moshe Rabbeinu." Not asking the kasha of Moshe Rabbeinu.
So what's okay. The kasha?
Good question. Good question. You're right. We'll get to it. It's a good question, right? Okay. The question was... No, the Medrash I mentioned last week was about Rachel Imenu, and I showed her the Medrash in just one brief... with one brief word, I mean, explains so much in the events of the life of Rachel and Yaakov and love on the whole interplay just by one phrase. And it's an amazing medrash. But somebody asked me, after I explained the medrash, he asked me, said that since, and the essence of the medrash we said was to explain why Rachel Imena died at tzaddikus like that, died at such a young age and in such pain. And I said the medrash really says that it was something that a situation arose that she simply was unable to handle, and it wasn't the result of an onesh, but it was a result of her inability to handle the situation, which was that she realized that what she did was a mistake, because she stole the truffin from her father Lavan with good intentions, because she thought that she could wean him from Avodah Zarah, but she didn't realize that he was really a phony, and he was really a person that was that really was deeply tied to, deeply rooted in Avodah Zarah, and he was presenting himself as something other. And she realized that by doing what she did, she put the entire Klal Yisrael in jeopardy. I mean, and that was and the whole thing could have not happened because of what she did by stealing the truffin. And that was a foolish mistake that she made. And the realization of that error, when it came to its climax, when Yaakov Avinu said that im asher yimtzos elohecha lo yichyeh, the one who stole the truffin should die. So then she realized the mistake that she made, and that was something which she never could get out of dealing with. She couldn't cope with it, and it eventually killed her at the time of her weakness and childbirth. That's where the Medrash explains it. So somebody asked me, said, why did the Medrash say that's why she died, because she couldn't cope with it? Maybe she was really Chayav Misa. So that, I said, is the Chazal held as absurd. That to say that a person is true was an Avera, was an oversight. But God is not monish in such a way. You don't see the Ramban. God is not monish in such a way. God is Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Babitrunyim B'Yosef. HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't strict with his Brias. He doesn't mete out a severe onus because a person made a mistake. It was a mistake. It was a misjudgment. Of course, had she really been, she should have thought it through more carefully, but that's an error that a person makes, and God doesn't give a person such a punishment. So that's another aspect of what the Medrash is saying, actually, that she wasn't Chayav Misa. She wasn't Chayav Misa. But what happened was that because it was an error, the realization of the catastrophe that she could have brought about because of her oversight was something she couldn't cope with for the rest of her life. I mean, eventually it caused her demise. I mean, that's what Chazal are telling us. That's like the Gemara in Kedushin, where the Gemara says the story of the tzaddik that his wife, he was learning in his backyard, and his wife she felt, I guess, that he was overlooking her, so she dressed up beautifully like a prostitute, and she caught him.